If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz.
It's tedious on therightstuff.biz.
Daily Show at 1396. Oh.
What happened there?
I don't know.
Go. Oh.
Can you sense my anger?
I don't know why it stopped.
Very, very angry.
Well, I wasn't angry. I'm laughing. The first comment on prep is from smart TRS listener. I got the COVID and flu shot today.
Good for you, brother.
Cheers, brother.
You show those pure chuds what true health is.
Yeah. Yes.
Instead of a pure blood. Maybe that makes you the pure chud. I was toying around with like pure chud instead of pure blood. But I think like the pure chud is like the vaccinated anti-Semite is the pure chud.
Yeah, because he's spoiling the party.
Yeah. My wife got the flu shot the other day. And when I worked in the ER, I would chase down the charge nurse trying to get my flu shot.
I've never gotten a flu shot.
In the ER? Hell yeah.
Shut me up, Patty.
The number of fucking people exposed to God knows what you're going to be dealing with.
You don't want the flu. It kills people.
Yeah.
It's not, and if it doesn't kill you, you'll still wish you were dead.
Hey, hold on. I just want to try something out live while
If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
I'm trying to see if I can replicate that problem. Like, what happened? Turn this down.
Can you sense my anger?
It's still working.
A lot of kikes like the show.
Yeah, there we go.
Don't get angry.
I'm gay.
I don't know. I can't replicate the problem. I stopped that on purpose that time. I don't know what happened. That was just weird.
Sit down.
What is going on?
I don't know, Greg. Please.
It is the spooky season. There may be a ghost in the machine.
There's a ghost in the machine. See, I'm trying to scroll back up to my Christopher Cantwell content that I have.
Oh, God.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I'm going into this one blind. I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Well.
Going into, and, oh God!
I don't approve of any of this, and I don't mean to make it fun. I'm going to read it in the funny Cantwell voice as a defense mechanism.
Okay.
I don't want anyone clipping any of the things I'm going to read and try to pretend like this is me talking. So I got to go like this. But I know it's going to make it seem humorous.
You know, I got to just say this: the hermeneutics or the heuristic or whatever, the hermeneutics of us. Saying people are going to isolate and clip us saying things in first person that are attributable to somebody else that could be used against us. It works so well that people don't bother to do it anymore.
Well, it's just not a thing. It doesn't matter. I just like,
it doesn't matter.
God, don't clip
that. Don't isolate that has worked so well that people don't even bother. So
this was brought to my attention by a respectable mention by, this was brought to my attention as a respectable mention by JF at the hour and 15 minutes mark. It fits the bill. But I'm simultaneously a bit annoyed at what I'm certain was the unintentional mischaracterization of the sentiments I conveyed and the motives for my once secret behavior. I didn't do a bunch of gay shit to get away from the right. Firstly.
Well, of course not. That's how you, that's what you do.
I can't do a sail this with a straight face because I'm not straight anymore. Get it?
Yeah. That's how you integrate yourself with the right. Yeah, no,
this is a good radio. Firstly, I had no political motives for my sexual behavior. I sought to keep it a secret. I only disclosed it publicly because I wanted my audience to get it from me rather than the criminal who tried to blackmail me over it. So, and so they would not be put in a position of defending me against the slander that turned out to be in significant part accurate. What is he?
I see what he means.
No, I see what he means. Was like, you think that, like, the blackmail would have made up more? Like, I can't imagine it. Like, I, you know, I can't figure out. I'm not creative enough to come up with, like, adding to what he's already admitted.
Considerate of his audience here, actually. Yeah. I'll give him credit for that. Oh, it's like, because he doesn't want them to come out and look stupid by defending him, and then it turns out to be true. Yeah.
These guys have been too good to me, and I wasn't going to put them through that. The reasons I did it can be summed up to lazy, degenerate vice. And I'm not gay. And I'm not saying I'm not gay because I'm afraid of being called gay. That would be much easier, actually. If I could have my coming out celebration and find some fucking philanthropist or government program to subsidize my debauchery.
Bro, you're gay. Like, I don't know, dude. Like,
I'm not fed up. Well, the discussion here is not whether or not Chris Cantwell is gay.
I'm not arguing that.
We're going to other things here. The people consuming this are gay. That's what we're going to get into. Not literally. I'm not fed up with the right so much as with the rigid ideologues behaving like, or in enough cases, actually becoming religious zealots about their political ideas. I'm sick and tired of the right who zealously tries to defend itself from the kind of debauched faggotry that I engaged in. That's basically what he's saying. And his audience is going to sympathize with that.
Oh my God.
And name us as, like, we're the problem. TRS. Because
we never even really.
It boils down to, yes, this is true. If you are not ideologically rigid, you're going to have male on male gay sex all the time. And you're mad at me because I'm not celebrating that. I'm celebrating the destruction of Israel because I'm anti-white. You're mad at me.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're the problem here. I mean, let's keep going.
Well, I got to also say one thing about this whole. Hold on. It's not entirely political. Like, I find what the little amount of what I heard about this personally, viscerally disgusting,
right.
Like, which ultimately evolves and becomes part of a political position.
And that's
it's
a problem.
Not inherently that right away, right? Like, the initial feeling is a sense of deep personal disgust and wishing I never knew anything like this could happen. And I felt pranked. Because Meraki put a video, I was avoiding this, but Meraki put a video on his Telegram, 18 seconds, which was a funny goof, haha, and I started listening to it, and it was actually the audio that Chris had released, and as soon as I realized what it was, after like 4 seconds, I was like, nope. Thankfully, I didn't hear all 18, but like, thank God,
well,
my sensitive brain doesn't deal with those things.
No, what it is,
I don't want to hear that.
You're a rigid ideologue, like a liberal. Not bad.
Fine, yes.
You should be more...
I am a rigid ideologue.
You should be more open and welcoming to this totally not gay sodomy.
No.
I'm not fed up with the right so much as with the rigid ideologues behaving like, or in enough cases, actually becoming religious zealots about their political ideas. The left has from time immemorial... I think he means time immemorial, isn't it? Am I getting that wrong?
Time immemorial.
Time immemorial.
I'm getting it wrong.
Been the epitome... I'm just joking. The epitome.
Yes. That's an
of this behavior, epitome. And the right is the opposing force to it. So in his world where he needs desperately to, for whatever reason, justify and push through his, like, gay adventures, is to say that, like, the right is a bulwark against having principles, is what he's... And I can see that. That's why I don't count myself as part of the right anymore, but I can, you know, I see what you're doing here.
You know the etymology of the word epitome? Tomy, the Greek root is coming from slice, and epi is like top, so it's like the top slice.
Top slice.
Just like anatomy is like man slice.
Well, that's this
right?
Show is a top slice of life show. A man slice.
that's anatomy. Anatomy literally means cut into the body. Right.
But home slice.
Enough about your salami.
Whatever you say, home slice. Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
Tomy.
The right is the opposing force to it. I'm on that side. You're stuck with me. Get used to it.
No.
My views on homosexuality are actually harsher than they used to be. I've always been of the view that the sexual behavior and sexual orientations are two different things. You can't force gay people to live heterosexual lives, and you shouldn't try. But you should allow conversion therapy to whatever extent is desired, if for no other reason to learn more about the subject. When I say that I'm not gay, I'm saying I had a choice in the matter. A choice gay people cannot, in my view, be held morally culpable for making. Not only choice, but for me, a difficult one. I had the same instinctive revulsion to male and male sexual imagery that other straight guys do. I did it anyway, more or less. I did it anyway, and more or less got over the desire to vomit after doing it enough.
All right, hold on.
I understand.
Remember, in the background, he's the good guy. We're the bad guys. He wasn't named
because remember, and also we're the bad guy because we did nothing. We didn't do anything.
Well,
that's always our words. Right? We just had ideas that people felt silently rebuked by in everything they do. They walk around feeling rebuked by our pure crystalline, like ivory tower view.
My purity spiraling, of which I am better at it than you are, and you need to just always be purity spiraling.
Politics
are for closers. We're a purity spire. Fuck, I'm
right. We exist in the purity spire.
And you're anti. And you're anti pure spirant. And you stink. You stink like faggots.
You're going to be a pure aspirant, but we'll see if you can make it. You aspire.
Purity spire. Oh, I love it. That's the name of the show today.
You like that one.
That was a good one.
But like, see, that's we're at the top.
Jesus Christ! Now I have to read this line. So he just cataloged how, you know, he had a choice in the matter. It actually took agency and will to go do gay stuff. It's not like he was gay and he had no choice and he was just.
Why did you do it?
I don't know. But it says here. Okay, but hold on. But to this day, I can't jack off to gay porn. That's a word. That's a sentence he wrote.
Well,
that shit.
I know his logic here. A man chooses; a slave obeys.
Uh-huh.
He's a man. He's choosing to fuck somebody there.
He's choosing He's choosing to get over the visceral revulsion and the desire to vomit that gay.
We are having a problem here, though. We are having
gays are just slaves. They can't help it.
No, but hold on. That this is he said a choice. He doesn't think that people should be morally judged or culpable for making. No, that's the whole idea of moral agency is you can't, the theory goes, so as it goes, that people cannot be morally judged for things that they cannot choose. But things that you do and can choose, you can be morally judged for that. So this is one of the reasons why faggots were doing the Born This Way was to escape the moral judgment of society who were saying, why are you choosing to do this awful shit? Like, well, we can't help it. We were born this way. I think that at the end of the day, like,
I can help it. I chose not to.
Right. So that would make you all the more morally culpable for your decision.
But at least
do these things.
Hold on. At least he's not ontologically homosexual.
What is the study of cancer?
Arguably, he's worse, though. Arguably. He's going to need both. You need to be able to, he's both ontically and oncology. Yeah, you need two different types. But, arguably the actual gay, the choiceless gay is less morally culpable because he honestly can't help it.
Well,
we're into the problem of evil.
They're expressing their.
We're talking about.
The actual gay is simply expressing his childhood abuse at the hands of an older man that.
Yeah,
Melissa. That's generally if Chris doesn't have that in his whatever. That's
my thing. Has always been like we can. I'm fine with going with this stupid liberal narrative of like it's not like their fault if it's not, but it doesn't mean they can't. People could be
doesn't
like,
mean we shouldn't put them
animals,
in prison,
right?
Doesn't mean
animals
we stop
will
them.
Exactly right. Like a wild animal will eat a person or attack a child or something. That doesn't mean it's not its fault. It's
just
nature,
so
but you stop it from doing
it's
it anyway,
natural.
Right?
Athletic.
You kill it anyway.
Okay.
Like if a bear kills a human being, they kill the bear because it can't be allowed to do it, you know?
Yeah, because properly you would just call that natural evil.
And yet if the bear kills my garbage, I'm not allowed to kill the bear.
Just because the evil is natural. Yeah,
why don't you secure your garbage? It's like, because I live in America. You are garbage. Anyway.
Why don't you just put your garbage in a hole in the woods like a normal, decent...
Like a bear would?
Well, that's why the bears develop the taste for garbage.
Yeah. But to this day, I can't jack off to gay porn. And all that said, do I give a fuck about the approval of the alt-right's rotting corpse? No, and why should I or anyone else? Excuse me, sir. The alt-right is not a rotting corpse. The alt-right is in the White House and is looking at, like, probably one of the best midterm congressional victories we've seen since 2002 for the program. Like, the alt-right won.
I just want to express to Chris, like, it's not a situation where we're like not giving you approval. We're just looking at this the same way one might look at a car crash. Like, oh boy,
is he definitely talking about us though? Is this for?
Just, absolutely. I don't know anyone else who's. I don't know.
There's a lot of people have been making fun of him.
As I said, there's funny commentary coming after this, where the connection is made. I'm like, aha, you're gay. They have no power and no future. On its best way, the alt-right is a circular firing squad of has-been meme generators who fell every bit out of step with the current zeitgeist as the left did. It's like, so what you're saying is the people you're characterizing as alt-right make fun of your gay stuff and that you don't like that, and they should loosen up about that. I'm just saying, that seems to be the entire issue. And don't forget, like, Cantwell went hardcore Tucker Republican when he got out of prison. It's not like we're not talking to a Nazi.
While he was in prison, like, that was the only content available.
I don't care how or why. I'm saying that he did it, and he did a bunch of gay shit, and now him and his audience are going to complain about purity spiraling. It's like, well, this is sort of the kind of thing that you're supposed to be against if you're serious about any sort, like, allowing this shit.
The question is,
in any way, shape, or form, is not, like, if the right is expected to accept this stuff, then fuck the right. Then the right sucks. The right deserves to die. This is supposed to be. Yeah. I remember when I first found what was going to be called the alt-right, I remember being like, why are there fags everywhere? I don't care if they're racist. They're fags. But it was like, that was just like, there was people everywhere that like didn't want to examine that at all. They just wanted to accept it. At least they're racist. Like, I don't care if they're racist. What does that mean? They don't suck black dick?
But like,
but anyway, this is just illustrating that very well. Like, your alternative to not being ideologically rigid and doing what I say is butt sex with Christopher Cantwell. This is what people are lamenting, that we are this way. They're not lamenting.
But the thing is this. they also lament that we're this way on the Jewish question.
I know, that's what I mean. But it's the same thing. The reason you are wrong about the Jewish question is because you like butt sex with Cantwell. They're related. They are the same thing. Your opinion on something that's too ideologically rigid, it means you don't measure up to a very simple standard. Hate Israel. Yeah. Don't be a faggot. I can go. All right. Well, then fuck you. Die. Kill yourself. Unalive.
Now, there may be people who would be okay with hating faggots, but they really stray when it comes to like being hardcore on the Jewish question. There's probably some people like that, right?
I don't think so.
But nonetheless, it's a symptom of the greater thing.
Which is that, look,
eventually, to delineate yourself as a group with an ideology, with an idea set, with a value system, you can't compromise on everything. There are some things you can compromise on. Mm-hmm. But there are some things you can't. There are some things you cannot be loosey-goosey on. There are some things you have to be hardcore on, or there is no point. There is no point, right? Like, there are some minor peripheral issues, which I'm fine with, like,
all right,
somebody not being... But faggot shit? Like, this is actually one of the worst... This is one of the worst things. Like, this is terrible.
Not compromising on this is being used to be like, why don't you compromise on everything else? Why don't you compromise on
Jews? Of course, because the argument
that's what it's
like
being
that,
used to.
The argument being used can then be applied to all other things.
That's
like
why
that.
It's exactly. being yeah. made. It's not it can. Right. That's why it's there. And people pick up on it immediately. And they think that others don't. They think that I don't see it. And so you're going to get made fun of. So... if you think it's worth your time to debate the merits of publicly displaying a swastika, you're out of your fucking mind. You make tranny mass shooters look sane by comparison, and I mean to direct this at both sides of the argument. You're basically saying, I'm a gay Republican, accept me. That's just the easy example. There are countless of these. I realize that on some level, there's always some kind of ideology at play.
Wait, hold up. Why is he now a hardcore person on you should never display a swastika? Why can't he compromise on that? Why can't he allow a little bit of leeway there?
I don't know. It's just basically, to me, I take that as that's a signal of you think there are people who are better at politics than you and you resent them because those people,
I
don't accept
but,
it. No, I know, but I'm just laying it out there, as you say, to explain to people. I see it like he doesn't actually care about that issue. I don't think I've ever argued with anybody about displaying the swastika anywhere.
No,
swastikas publicly.
Nor do I,
privately.
Really. Yeah,
I don't think I have any, but it's just like.
I have them privately, but yeah, not publicly, yeah.
I have a Totenkopf hanging, but it's just.
I actually have quite a bit of Nazi imagery throughout.
But it's just like.
I'm a fan of the era.
But it's like the people you have the argument with, the people, what, it's like, go argue with, that was the optics war. Again, another fag. Yeah. Nick Fuentes is a fucking literal homosexual and, probably God knows what Ricky Vaughn is, and they led the charge on like it's like yeah we're gonna be a Republican, and they won. The alt-right won. The alt-right became the Republican Party.
Yeah.
You're not getting. Hi, hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail. Getting anything out of it? Other
and
than
now you get like actual Republican. You get the like actual Republican people who they're creating to try and be clones
so
of Fuentes. Like
I realize
Riley
that on
Molly
some
and,
level, there's always some kind of ideology at play. He's treating ideology as if it's a side effect and a defect in politics. So you fucking moron.
That's what politics is.
Politics are ideology. The problem is you want to play, as all of these people do, you want to be willy-nilly and mushy-washy with it. And that's why you all fail and will always fail. That's why our only hope is for, like, Russia and Iran to nuke this place to save the white race, because it's just no one's fighting it. No one's fighting any of these any of the anti-white policies of any anti-white government is not being fought. You're simply turning around, joining your Tories, joining your Republicans, and like sort of like, can you go ask the Jews that actually run this country to like stop the immigration? No, we won't. And they say no. Oh, all right. Can you arrest us then? Sure.
Similar to this, actually, real quick. Similar to this. I remember years ago, I was at that apartment. Remember that apartment guy? The guy who had the apartment in the city that had the New Reactionary parties?
Yeah, sure.
I was at that guy's apartment, and I was sitting there, and we were talking, and they were talking about this tranny that was in their midst. Justine, I forgot the name, Justine something, right? It was a dude, though. It was a dude who transitioned.
I heard the story.
And there was internal fighting over this, and there was one guy who was saying, like, that can't be allowed in our circles, period. And, like, he was the guy who eventually was the one ostracized in the community. And they were all attacking him, and somebody was like, I don't care about what someone is choosing to do with their body or decides to do with their body. Like, I care about their ultimate, like, their ideological predisposition. And I was like, wait, I was like, hold on a second, though. But isn't what they've done with their body an indication of an idea set, a value set? Like, it's not value free. Like, right. If you're talking about someone wants to smoke cigarettes or drink whiskey, that, sure, you don't care about that. But, like, we're talking about somebody cutting their dick off and shaving down their chin to look like a woman. Like, this is a different thing, right? And I was like, doesn't the very act of this imply, like, a degenerate value set? And they didn't really want to have that argument.
Yeah.
And the person I was arguing with was a hardcore Christian. And, you know, and I was like, this is something, like, I can't, I'm not with you on this, bro. Like, I can't be with you. I can't make room for this in my politics.
Mishmash of confused people who have no idea what they're talking about and want you to join them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're here on this show. We've lit the beacon. We show you every day how you can be, and you refuse because you like butt sex with Chris Campbell.
And as it turned out,
we see the consequences of that. You just end up having sex with men.
And you end up going online. And you end up going online clapping for Chris. Supporting him in this entire wacky thing that you should be just laughing at.
I've been fairly aloof from this whole Campbell thing, so that's
I don't really
going
care.
On.
The only reason I'm doing this is because it has an ideological point to it at this point.
I'm just like faintly horrified by the entire debacle.
Yeah, the whole thing to me, it's not even really political. It's more just like,
But I've completely had it with dealing with fanatics as a general matter. It's like, okay. you mean you don't want to deal with pushback? Ew. I mean, you don't want to deal with opposition.
Oh, speaking of that,
I just mean, like, yeah, it's like, of course, if I was doing something awful, if I was doing something deplorable, if I was doing something disgusting, if I was doing something that everyone who respects me would turn on me for, I would say that I'm tired of fanatics. I would say something like that as well if I didn't want to like have the self reflection and work on myself to maybe not be a bad person.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's what I would say. I've lived that way for many years. It ruined my life. No, your poor decisions ruined your life.
Dude,
no external force ruined Christopher Cantwell's life, including the Jews.
There was an argument. He's been on this trajectory his entire life. I remember talking to some libertarians about how he was way back in the day, like waving his gun around at parties.
Always a train wreck. Always very.
He's always been a loose cannon. He's always been his own worst enemy.
What's funny is I was so willing to accept that he was just a loose cannon, and you could say like. His life on some level was ruined by forces like El Reeve and the police of Charlottesville and such. And there's some argument to that he was treated unfairly. He wasn't like he wasn't treated the way another defendant would be treated because of all of that stuff. Right. But at the same time, like he did things that others didn't do. Like he did a film of himself with El Reeve in his hotel room where he showed her like all the guns that he had brought. And I'm like, why would you do what? Hey, why would you bring all these weapons?
I think he does it to like, maybe hopefully get himself laid or something. I don't know.
No, he does it because he's impulsive. He enjoys the attention and he enjoys being really edgy. And it's just, it is actually just impulsiveness. Like he can't like, and there was this other thing where Chris can't shut his mouth. Like into his brain, it comes out of his mouth. It's like, it's just a thing that happens. And so.
Well, now he's doing lies. But I mean, he's lying to try to defend himself. He's trying to come up with this.
Sure. Right.
Which is why he says, I lived that way for years. It ruined my life.
That's which not is what saying, ruined your life.
Dealing with fanatics. It's like, no, what ruined it was like drugs and weird sex shit for just like
and
the
frankly,
alien. Yeah. So.
The drugs and the gay shit and the showing off your guns. All of these are trends that indicate a general personality problem you have. Which is incredibly poor impulse control.
Right.
You have, like, and that's what's ruined your life.
So when he says he doesn't like, when he doesn't like fanatics or whatever, it's like, what you don't like is judgments are being
like
made.
People that have good impulse
people
control.
People that have impulse control and see your lack thereof and they judge you as, like, not a good person to have around. That you're like, yeah, I wish people would stop judging me for all the wrongs that I did. It's basically
it used to be that I didn't judge Chris morally bad. I judged him as a sad case of somebody who was decent but couldn't control themselves. I don't know that I can think that anymore, you know?
Right. So he's almost done here. To those whose lives I've ruined by dragging you down that path with me, not dragging down the path of celebrating his butt sex, but by dragging down the path of having ideological, I guess at some point having like ideological...
What's the name? Rick Griner? Is that the name of his fucking gay alter ego?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Rick Griner. Yeah, I think that's the name of the. He was writing gay erotic fiction under that name.
So he says to those whose lives I have enraged by dragging you down that path with me, I'm so fucking sorry. Please give me a chance to earn your forgiveness. Like you're not asking for forgiveness. You're asking, can everyone please just step over and not have... So anyway, the reason I wanted to read this is there's immediately a commenter, Tom Zimkowitz or something. He's got some ridiculous Polack name. And this is funny because this basically, this tells you exactly what I've been saying. If you don't listen to us, you're a fag. He says, I stopped listening to TRS a couple years ago. I got sick of the negativity. Same with some other people. Constant pure, in quotes, ideology. And it just ends at talking and them collecting money for it. No, it ends in you feeling seen because you're a bad person. And yes, I collect money. People pay me to talk about you, call you a whiteoid, to call you a soft wannabe Republican. The worst part, the Republicans don't want you. I think if Christopher Cantwell told his story.
They might want Chris now.
If Christopher Cantwell took that story to a, they would reject him. Yeah. They'd be like, you are a gigantic faggot. Get the fuck out of here. What kind of disease you have? Get away from my kids. Like, let's not pretend. Like, they would mostly be rejected at a TPUSA meeting.
Well, here's the
which
thing.
Is where he wants to be. They don't want you. They don't want it from that. They don't want Tom Zigzwitz who doesn't like, I mean, they might want you for being ideologically mushy, but it's like, you were basically saying, Tom, you stopped listening to us. Because we're not going to help you celebrate Chris Cantwell's butt sex journey. Do you understand what you're saying? You don't like listening to... I mean, he didn't mention TRS in this whole thing, but I got it because of the comment. So somewhere somebody got what he's talking about.
Apparently this guy,
the first thing you see in there is you put a link between us being too ideological for this kind of butt sex, and that makes you feel bad. You want to enjoy the butt sex, and we won't let you. We won't give you internet permission, so you resent it, and you make it about it's all just talk and collecting money. What do you want it to be? What are you? You're just listening and not giving money. Like, you're not listening well enough. You literally want to help Christopher Cantwell have a big homecoming celebration for his Grindr gay sex journey. Where are you ideologically that this is a problem for you? Like, okay, Mike, relax. I know that you think someone else talking is an opportunity for you to start talking, but you can't wait for me to stop. Now I forgot what I was going to say because you pissed me off. God damn it. What was I saying? I forgot what I was fucking saying.
I could say what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, let's let him collect
himself. I'll just not do it.
He's an amazing Grant.
I don't mean to do it. I have poor impulse control.
Stop it.
All right.
So he's ontologically driven to interrupt people. He can't help it.
My brain works fast on these things, and I come up with ideas, and I feel
okay.
Really,
your mouth doesn't have to work fast.
My mouth works fast.
I do pause when I talk.
I'm just really glad that I have this gay sex problem.
That's one problem I don't have.
Yeah, nobody has a gay sex problem.
No one has that problem.
That's this guy's problem. He's like, why won't TRS enable and join me in celebrating Christopher Cantwell's butt sex? It's because we hate Israel.
Yeah.
It's because because hail Hamas. These are things that you can't say. These are things that bother you for whatever reason it is. You like we are because we on a daily basis reveal the fraud and you referring yourself as a Nazi. You're not a Nazi. You're not a white supremacist. You're not anything. You're a Republican. You're a Republican that needs a more novel name. And it's true of everyone who uses Telegram and calls themselves some kind of white. That's why I say I'm not a white nationalist because the entire white nationalist scene is Republicans asking Jews to please keep the Zionist nations majority white, please. And the answer from them is no.
The answer is no.
I keep trying to tell you. And for it being all talk, how about you start by talking? I can't get people to talk. You can't get white nationalists to just say, as empty words, death to Israel. They get all fucked up. I don't care about that. That's anti-white. Like, really? So don't talk to me about words. Your words are, I like butt sex, and you should too. And you should support me in that endeavor instead of condemning me and my friend. I'm doing it in that voice, and no one can I say it. That's what Tom here is asking. Tom the Polack is asking, why won't we support him in his endeavor to support Christopher Cantwell and other butt sexes, and also saying that Hamas are brownoids and Israel should flatten them because it's funny and they should continue to run our country because that's what makes me comfortable. That's what you people say, and you feel threatened by us because you should. Actually, you should be threatened by actual Jewish power, but it's more like you should feel the narcissistic injury of me telling you you're a moron. And you're an idiot.
Way to feel that.
You're an idiot. You're stupid. And every fucking little like hamster wheel spinning you do on the subject just reveals that you're even stupider than I thought because you've doubled down. You stick with it by doing, and you fucking fancy yourself pro-white and me anti-white. No, I'm anti you because you're a moron. You stand in the way with every other Republican of white power and white redemption in this world, and it's not going to happen specifically because of people like you who knuckle down and say, how can we rationalize a way to accept butt sex and Jewish rule so I don't have to do anything but except for being mad at people that I perceive as not doing things because they don't coddle me in my endeavor to be a coward? How can you do that? Well, you can do it by just telling Christopher Cantwell that he does a good job. I was going to say, like, but I guess he's a giver, not a taker. So it's, I guess you could tell Christopher that his videos were nice. The audio was good.
So far as we know.
He seems like a loving man that gives it to other men, and you respect that. And yeah, people should really stop purity spiraling about.
Well, I mean,
audio and video of a man having sex with other men that he met on Grindr for no other reason, and he's not totally not gay, and it's like, oh my God.
Well, he's not. Dan McClellan would agree. He's actually not gay.
All right. Let's see it.
Listen, I don't.
Sit down! Log on a grinder. Sit down. Log on a grinder. Find yourself a second. Relax. Be less ideological.
So I wanted to say about the linkage here, right? Because
oh god,
we are like anti-gay, but we're not like that's not the topic that we. You will have entire weeks of shows where we don't really even address that, right? We mostly just talk about the Jewish question. And yes, we are ideologically rigid on that. Yes, we are in the purity spire. So what I hear here is that, and there's this idea here of like, the gay thing now is proxied over the Jewish thing, right? Which you were kind of saying too. Like, it's a proxy. So in other words, like, you're using this gay thing as a proxy for the ideological rigidity on the Jew thing because you feel threatened by that. So it's sort of like, here we have somebody who's saying we should just like being, having just the general feeling of having too many standards, or an attack generally on rigid standards. You see that as a door that is now open that you can go through. To be like not ideologically rigid or not having a rigid standard on the Jew thing. And so it's sort of like all things can now be kind of loose. You know, I hate to use words like loose and open and things like that in this context, but you know what I'm saying? Like, so you're like,
gay sex is the crowbar to get you into that room.
Yeah, that's the wedge issue. If you want to understand it that way, that's the wedge issue that can be used, right? That's how you can. It's the penetrative agent that can be used
to cram your
jam your politics in there. So you want to find that crevice. You want to find that crack.
All right, this doesn't sound too hot. I gotta go.
Jam those politics right in there.
I'll be in my bunk. Let me know when you're done. I'll come back for the ontological fucking.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you can see that, and I can actually understand this because there was a time when I could have related to this, not so much on like the gay issue.
But, I can never imagine using that as my wedge issue.
No, not so much on the gay issue. I'm saying, but I can understand that there was this idea when we first got in these politics, there were these guys that were super hardcore on this, and I thought they were the biggest dicks, and they were judgmental, and they were assholes about literally everything, and it turns out they were actually right.
Yeah,
and I felt like I was under attack by them. And then, and so I would find people who would also complain about it. And the complaints always went down the road of not particularistic, but sort of generalized complaints against rigidity in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, now, so I was going to make a joke about rigidity.
Well,
but
we did an A-B test.
We'll just keep going.
Yeah, we did an A-B test, but it was really more of an A-gay test.
Aww.
A gay B test?
A gay B test.
Like, are you talking about a gay B?
I think about gay B toys.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to go in that store.
Well, I think they're out of business, right?
They are, thank God.
Yeah.
But I'll bring them back. That's where you go in and like the action figures be all over the floor. Anyway, so it's like people are just like, there's a general idea of like compromising. Now, the thing about the Republican Party and gay stuff is, yes, if Chris went into a Republican Party meeting with his actual gay porn and his actual Grindr profile and all that stuff, yes, they would be disgusted. But if he went into a Republican Party meeting saying like he's gay and Republican, they would welcome him. They would.
I'm not actually gay. But check out all this research. This is right. My findings.
Right. They prefer not to address the issue of what it is that it means, which is what a lot of we've talked about how like when you gay allyship, right? Like non-gays who nonetheless are like supportive and helpful or whatever and don't want to think about like the mechanics of it, which we've always said, like if there's one way to break one of these like fag hag girls or whatever who's like big into the LGBT, just like introduce or talk to them or tell them about or some of these things that actually go on, or like the tranny thing, like if you want to break someone of celebrating that, like talk to them about like what actually goes on with these surgeries. And we've done this on our show, of course, which is awful content, but nonetheless needed to be done, like the Dr. Rumor style shit, right? Just the actual disgusting physical mechanics of this. And there does become an idea when you talk about the actual gross disgusting physical mechanics of what goes on with this, with tranny stuff and with this gay stuff, and the fact that it leads to disease, infection, there becomes an idea where this, the physical and the ontological idea of evil meet, right? Where things that are like this are evil inherently. And you can even attribute that to some evolutionary process in the brain where my brain has evolved to reject these things on such a visceral level that I consider it evil because it is so obviously associated with harm, bodily mutilation, disease, and death. That this is something that I, as a healthy person, do not want anything to do with, and I don't want to do with anything with people that have something to do with it because they might carry fucking pathogens with them, whether those pathogens are physical or whether they're just mental pathogens, And the Jewish thing ultimately becomes related to this because they tell you to welcome these things into your society, to have these things, to introduce them into your society. So, no, like, yes, I'm going to be, how will you say, rigid on these things. And that's because, yeah, there are some standards that you have to have. And you wouldn't, and at some point, like, how are you defining your, you have to do boundary maintenance. Dan McClellan says petty. It's not always petty. No. Sometimes boundary maintenance is very profound. We're doing profound boundary maintenance here.
You just have to do actual boundary maintenance.
Yeah. When you don't do boundary maintenance, you get the swath of white nationalism that just joined MAGA but won't admit it to themselves.
Right. And you get the ones that are like, and again, which they're always happy to maintain. Like
this commenter,
it's always a boundary you will maintain, though. You always will maintain a boundary, right? So what's the boundary?
You're actually being an Nazi.
The boundary is.
You're actually serious. That's the boundary.
Yeah.
You need to come over here. You need to be the clown with the rest of us. You need to be a pro-Trump clown.
You need to take the easy route of the boundary you want to maintain is the one that the Jews want to maintain.
So he says, same with the other people, constant pure ideology, and it just ends talking and them collecting money for it. Calling everyone who's not them, or who's everyone who's not like them, rightoids, are using terms like Finkelich. First of all, I call you a whiteoid. You're not a rightoid. A rightoid is a conservative, a libertarian. A whiteoid is somebody who thinks they're a white nationalist, but they're racism. They think that, like, Palestinians are brown people who should get killed by Israel and Israel should stay in power forever. That's a whiteoid, and that's what you are. And Finkel think,
what are you?
Think, like, you can say you don't like maybe jazz hands. Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, 6-monthly, or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening. And said Finkelthick too often, and it bothered. But it's funny because, you know, it bothered a certain
kind. The concept is valid, though.
It bothered a certain kind of person. It bothered a person like you that wanted to be left alone to enjoy the butt sex. And in this case, the butt sex was, I just want to participate in American two-party politics, and I want Republicans to beat Democrats, which has got nothing in it for white people anywhere. There's nothing in that. That is the politics of bring me more Indians. Bring me the horizon. Like, that is what you want. You want to be with that. You want to be on the right cheek of the butt. Very good. That's what you want. And, like, so Finkelthink laid bare that, like, here's a guy that designed how to keep people involved in these politics. And you're like, but I want to be in these politics. But that worked on me. Stop giving it a name and mocking it. It's like, no. Stop being a fag. Yeah. But I want to be a fag. Oh, well, stop yelling at me then.
I mean,
why can't you be a fag? Well, this is the thing that I don't understand.
Just acknowledge, like, what you are then.
Well, they acknowledge that. But, yeah, instead of talking about TRS, don't mention TRS. Just declare, just come out. Come out of the closet as a fag. You don't need to mention me on it. You don't need to mention TRS, this website. It has nothing to do with podcasts you used to listen to. You're just a faggot.
What's the need for our approval? Do you need, like, our
You don't have my approval.
Yes. No, he does. That's what I'm saying. I thought about this, actually, after when we were talking about the Alex Jones, Ezra Levant thing. And when I said that Ezra Levant was effectively giving people arguments that they could use to try and get permission to support Israel. And Sven was like, permission? What are you talking about? I was like, yes, no, permission from us. Permission from us. Like, they want our permission on some level. You wouldn't, if you didn't want it, you wouldn't be bitching. If it didn't bother you, you wouldn't be bitching. And it's very funny because we didn't even really talk very much about Chris and his gay thing. We had a couple of laughs about it, and then we were like, let's move on. We don't really want to deal with it. I don't remember. We've talked about it more now, here, right now, today, than we have all the other times combined. Yet, in this rant that Chris did, this guy picks up immediately on us and brings us.
That's
into
why
it.
I brought it, because it's proof of everything that I say about these people. It's like, you are fags. If you want my approval, just fucking just parrot things that we say. Everyone would be better off if you just parroted what we said. We are not wrong. You are. If you're having a thought, you shouldn't, because no one's paying you to share your thoughts on the internet. Like they're paying me to.
Yes.
Gay. Okay.
So then I watched this. Also, this chat. Also, somebody shared some whiteoids from Australia. It's just amazing how widespread it is. And they're in
that same chat.
Yeah. So they pulled up your tweet, and it's like, oh no, why is Painovich infighting with dissident soaps? He's not. Dissident Soaps is a Republican.
Dissident Soaps. Dissident Soaps is a
I'm fighting Dissident Soaps. I'm not infighting Dissident Soaps. And if you want to take Dissident Soaps aside, that's your problem. And that's why no one listens to your show or pays you, and everyone listens to my show and pays me. Because you're fighting for Dissident... Because nobody needs to pay. Nobody needs to watch a stream where Nazis act like Republicans.
Right.
You could just watch Republicans do that. Like, they're better at it than you are. If you're going to be intellectually and ideologically incorrect, there are people that are polished professionals that are better at it than you. You might as well to get through the lack of charisma and the poor mic technique. You should at least have opinions that are correct and rebellious and that have revolutionary potential. If you don't, there's no reason to listen to you, which is why people can just go listen to Tucker. People can just go listen to Candid. If people want to be lied to about how Jewish power works and how immigration works, they've built an entire like new cottage industry of alt Republican media that are doing a better job. They can go watch Daryl Cooper. So don't accuse. But if you say things like, why is Painovich infighting with Dissident Soaps? It's because you're on that team and you're not going to get anywhere.
I'm fighting with them.
Yeah. They are the enemy. So Dissident Soaps is the enemy. I mean, he's not the enemy, but he's part. He has taken the enemy side.
Yeah, he's taking their side.
They are
right-oids.
He's a fucking pussy. They are Zionists, just like you are. You're a white-oid.
He is actually a Zionist. That guy actually just supports Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he actually does. So, like, what are you talking about? Like, the tweeting question here. So, this is the thing I said. Okay, yesterday, every UK official went out and they said all resources, all police, and monetary and security resources are going to be deployed to protect Jewish sites around the UK. And you know who else is saying it? Every fucking Muslim official in the UK was also saying that. Sadiq Khan and every other fucking Muslim elected official there, which there are a lot of in the United Kingdom, was also saying that. So this Muslim takeover appears like these same Muslims that are taking over are actually serving the fucking Jews. And so because of, and he's literally then citing a data policy that Keir Starmer just announced about how data is going to be preserved and looked at by the police. You think that Muslims are behind that? No, that is Jews. He's talking about Apple computer and the way they're preserving data or something like that. So it says, so the UK government issued a new order requiring Apple to create a backdoor in its cloud storage service, this time targeting only British users' data. You really think that Muslims are behind that? And so what he says is, at this rate, the UK is going to wind up this odd little Islamic pariah state.
I wish.
With no access to half the internet, like a colder version of Iran. So, a number of problems here.
That's all enemy shit. This is like everything.
The UK is not going to end up a Muslim state. The UK is not even significantly Muslim. And the migrant problem in the UK is only one third Muslim. Okay. So you have it wrong. When you talk about the migrant problem in the United Kingdom being Muslim and Islamic, you are doing counter jihad Jewish shit. He does counter jihad Jewish shit all the time. He supports Israel. He hates Palestinians and any kind of pro-Palestinian content he considers like personally insulting to him. Like, Sven's tweet saying, like, if you want to free your country, you have to free Palestine first. He considered that a personal fucking threat.
Good.
And yeah,
wet your bed over it, pal.
Yeah. And so all I said, Zionist Soaps posting this on a day when the entire machinery of the British state is swinging into action to protect Jews, implying that Muslims are behind this data policy and not Jews. And he says, it would be nice if for just one day he would stop lying. Just one fucking day. And not only that, why does he pick this so-called pariah state as Iran? Because he wants you to consider it that way. Iran is not a pariah state. Iran's allies with two of the biggest superpowers in the world, with both Russia and China. Every single day, Russia is flying military equipment into Iran and cargo planes.
You're talking about a white nationalist. Like, it's a pariah to their, like, they serve Israel, and Israel doesn't like them. So this is the entire problem. It's like, just oppose Israel. Oppose it with empty words. Just start with empty words. You can't. You won't.
Why isn't your question? And for those of you, whatever Australians or me fighting with him, why isn't your question? Why is Zionist Soaps being a fucking faggot? Why isn't that your question? Why is Zionist Soaps being a faggot? Why is he distracting from the Jewish issue? Why is he literally taking a day where I saw so many other people who actually usually get things wrong getting it right and talking about how, like, oh, look at this, when the Jews get attacked,
well, because these
white people get attacked. this and not making it about the Muslim invasion and all that stuff. Now he wants to. Now he's literally running cover. He's trying to bring everybody back to talk about Muslims. He's upset. He doesn't like it when people talk about Jews. He always wants to bring everything back to the Muslim issue. People were talking a little bit too much about Jewish power, about the whole fucking thing in Britain, because everybody across the board, even fucking like Zoomer or whatever, nationalists had to start talking about, oh, wow, look at this. Yeah. When white people get blown up, we get nothing. And when Jews get blown up, they get like the whole fucking apparatus of the state. It was so obvious. And here comes their buddy, dissident Soaps, Zionist Soaps, you know, to wash his hands of the Jewish question. Use that soap to just, you know, wash your hands of ever having to talk about Jews. Here he comes to start talking about.
Use that soap to wash fecal matter off your
dick.
Try
and wash your fucking conscience clean.
Oh, God.
Because that's what it is. Like, we won't let you get away with that. We won't let you get away with the gay shit. Celebrate Chris Carentwell. I hope Dissident Soap sends a care package to Chris so he can wash up and his victims.
Yeah, clean your fucking conscience.
All right, that's because
it's filthy. That's why you're mad. I know. Well, there's more though, right? There's more.
But it's like the Australians. The Australians are an interesting. They're an interesting crowd because these people are mad. They're mad that you're like doing your infighting, but they're also like, you know, their leader is in jail right now for basically being the security force for a Jewish, like
right,
fake
for a Jewish rally,
like for a Jewish rally about immigration that they had no part of. Like,
yeah.
You're in jail, so right. It's like they can't really. It's sort of the fallacy? The sunk cost fallacy. It's like, well, we can't send our guys to jail for defending Jews from Antifa and then turn on them and say, you know,
this characterizing Antifa as Palestinians. Like all those people that they beat up were white or Jewish Antifa, and they were calling them Palestinians. Like, why are you lying? Why? I don't get this. I do get it, but it's like I'm saying I don't get it rhetorically. Like the amazing effort to shift everything over to Palestinians when you wouldn't have done that 2 years ago. You didn't even fucking know what Palestine was.
The same reason that Sunni Arabs sell out Palestine and sell out Iran every chance they get. They're the same people as these Sunnoid Muslims that they hate so much. The Whiteoid and the Sunnoid are the same person. They have the same tendency. They have the same cowardly will to just like sell out to whatever Israel wants, whatever Jews wants.
Right.
Because they're cowards who think they can't win in anything. And they're right. They can't win in anything. It's terrible. Like that's why I have to root for the Shia, because they're the Shia and like, I don't know, the Russians, maybe the Chinese, maybe they can put something. Yeah. But the problem with that is like those groups, it's not their job to save us. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Like the last thing on their mind is like, what's the American trailer trash going to be like after we topple their government? Like, they don't care about that. So it's cold comfort, but it's like, it's because like the Sunnoid and the Whiteoid biomass just cannot be counted. The only thing they can be counted on is to be Zionist. But the interesting thing is, like, they know well enough to be embarrassed by it. Like, let's see. I responded
yes,
to,
have a, they know
I
well
just remembered
to
something. I responded to Borzoi on yesterday. Let me see if I can. Let me check my little reply tab here. I don't think I was very active yesterday. But he had a fat normie. Yes, here it is. Matt Forney. Matt Forney tweets, Trump is our first non-Zionist president in ages.
What?
I know. Obama and Biden were owned by Israel to the degree that people like this falsely claim Trump is. So he's responding to whatever stupid shit that Patrick Casey is gargling. And Borzoi wrote, this is a case study of how... Oh, okay, he's just talking shit. I said it's interesting that he seems to be acknowledging that being a Zionist is actually bad in this tweet. Like, I don't get that sense from him ever.
No.
But here he is, like, Donald Trump is King Zionist. He proudly will say he's the best president the Jews ever had, the best president Israel ever had. And they're prepping for another, like, I don't know what kind of aerial attack on Iran they're going to do now.
There's something in the mix here.
They're probably going to destroy the water supplies for Tehran is what it looks like the plan is. That's what a lot of people are surmising. I don't know if something leaked.
Iran is does have a water crisis right now. They are having an issue with water because of this farming, and it's a long story. But yeah, I could see that because they would be vulnerable on that front, so that would be a target. So they should.
So
the Iranians should absolutely be putting defenses around those facilities. But yeah, but see, this is the thing. It's like, you know that you're doing something wrong when you do that, and this is also what I mean when I say that, like, they know that just being Zionist is bad. Like, Matt Forney understands this.
They have to hide it.
That
they
if
won't
he
just
comes
come
out,
out
that you do have to hide it. Why? Why can't you? Here's my question for those for Matt Forney and for Zionist Soaps. Why can't you just come out with being a Zionist? Why can't you just tell people what is it about that that's bad?
Instead, they keep making.
I actually want to analyze this.
They keep making these weird like excuses and sales pitches that seem to be directed at me, where they try to say like, "Okay, Charlie Kirk, they think he's the enemy. They think he." I was like, "Well, he's not. I don't see anything in him that resembles me because I'm not with him. I'm not going to play the game with you where I'm with them, but I'm not."
The Zionists don't think Charlie Kirk is the enemy. Is that what he means? We think he's the enemy.
Trying to make these appeals where it's like, that's a white man and he got killed for being. It's like, no, he got killed for being a Republican by a liberal. I don't care.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with me. These people are my Charlie Kirk's my enemy. It's like, why do you make these weird appeals? Why don't you just declare? Like, it's like people.
Why do I have to choose a side?
But if I turn around to you and I say, well, because I don't want to be a Republican like you do, then they blow up. Like, how dare you accuse me of just being a Zionist Republican? I'm not a Zionist. Like, then, like, how come everything you say could come out of a Zionist Republican's mouth? How come everything you say turns around to just supporting mainstream Republicanism and MAGA and its aims? Like, why is that? Why don't you just declare? Like, you could just be. You wouldn't have to be anonymous. You don't have to worry about getting doxxed. You could just be a MAGA Republican and be fine. Why are you in here slumming it with me, the guy that's against it? The guy, like, you have real hardship for being an activist. Like, why do you brand your? It's because of the dissident branding, I guess. Like, you feel like you're a cool guy. Like, I'm in the dissident, right? That doesn't mean anything. Your soaps aren't dissident.
No. They're Zionists. They said Zionist soaps, Zionist copes, whatever.
Not even that. Not even the that. Soap, I don't still... Zionist only sounds like too cool of a word to, like, pronounce. Like, you're just mainstream soaps. There's nothing you're about soap. You that's outside of the norm. But that's why I call Matt Forney Fat Normie, because he's a fat normie. Yeah, I know he's not fat anymore, but you're fat coated, Matt. Like, no matter what you do, no matter how you look now, you're always going to be fat coated. You're a fat. You're coated. A fat virgin. No matter how many times you have sex, you're virgin coated. You are incel coated forever, Matt.
I think Borisov has a new name for him. I believe he's been calling him Fornius.
Fornius.
It's funny that we're talking about this guy again because he was irrelevant for so many years. Thanks, Elon Musk. But you know, I find this assertion just remarkable. That Donald Trump is not a Zionist?
Yeah.
That's a credibility opposite of reality.
It's a credibility enhancing display. They try to hold on to the credibility of, oh no, the movement I'm supporting is not Zionist.
Right.
All those anti-Zionists who say that is Zionist, they're all lying. They're the bad people. They don't like gay sex. I do. Oh God, damn it, I fell for it. Fuck.
Well, that's, you know.
I hate editing video, otherwise I would edit that. Son of a bitch.
You don't have to worry about that. That's fine. But here's the thing.
It's a game, though.
That, like
I lost the game, you know? Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean? It's like when we're sitting here and doing the show and, like, our kneecaps. I was like, oh, fuck! It's just a game, you know?
It's a game, and, like, I lose the game. Like, I lost the game the other day when I talked about Charlie Kirk, when Lewis and I said we were going to do a show without doing it, and then I did it. I totally lost. But
oh, my God.
But, like, now it's funny because it's so funny. The Kirk thing is so over. Like, I don't give any fucks anymore, and, like, neither does really anybody else. And when I see stuff now... Like, I see Charlie Kirk branded things now. I'm like, okay, that's fundamentally inorganic. Like, that is fundamentally fake. Like, people still trying to do Kirk stuff. It's like, it's over, man. That shit is done. Like, that the Kirk has been flattened. No one gives a fuck anymore. It's done. So people, like, the Republicans did have this propaganda heyday over that and this big coup over it. And, like, again, the fucking guy that did some app, he created some app whereby you could report people. For like breaches of like the Kirk doctrine of like, so like you could try and get people fired. You could try and get people fired for making fun of Charlie Kirk or something. And so this app was like a reporting. And of course, everybody that ever signed up for the app, their data has now been leaked. So it's just like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, so it was just some scam app, very poorly secured, like launched on the app stores and whatever. And you went and you did it. And now all your data is leaked. Good job. Well done. Again, everyone's data is leaked. So it's not that big of a deal, but like, It's just like that has lost all its legs. Like the Kirk, like you can't get anybody fired for that anymore. People can make fun of Charlie Kirk and keep their jobs, no problem. Now it's irrelevant. Your little brief window on that has been fucking slammed shut because no one gives a fuck. And that's what you try and do. But yet the Jew thing, that's still heavily active. So when you give your help, your voice, and your efforts, if talking didn't matter. Mr. What's their name? Polish guy responding to Chris Cantwell or Polish named guy. If talking didn't matter, then you wouldn't care what we say. If talking, like you wouldn't say things and think that they matter. This idea, Anybody that says talking doesn't matter, that's a fucking performative fucking self-contradiction. Shut
the
fuck up.
That means you're saying the wrong things and you feel guilty.
Shut the fuck up. It means that what you are doing is there's people saying things you don't like. So that's what you say, just talking doesn't matter. It's all talk. You're all fucking talk. Chris does talk. We do talk. Everybody does talk. Doing talk is politics. Politics is talking.
Imagine if we all said the same thing. What could happen next?
Imagine if everybody was on the same page with that. That's the whole point of this.
No one's on the same page.
Everybody was on the same page.
Every stupid person thinks they're smart.
They would not be able to do what they do. Like, legitimately, if everybody listened to the things that we say and changed their opinions to be like those of ours, the Jews would not be able to do what they do.
I don't spout opinions. I spout facts. You have opinions. That's why you're always wrong. Not you.
So therefore, yeah. No, I understand. But my point is that, like, politics is talking. That's why the Jews spend so much money, so much time, so much effort, and do so many gay ops to affect public opinion. Because fundamentally, without some kind of grudging permission from people, they wouldn't be able to do what they do. And you are fucking this is the thing about this element of the so-called dissident right. This element of the dissident right is one of the worst things when it comes to trying to wedge Jewish permission back into the narrative, because there are so many people who are not actually on the right, who have not actually talked even about the Jewish question, who probably don't even understand it on the level that we do and that you do, that nonetheless are doing more harm to global Jewish power than you are, because they're not fucking thinking themselves into a little box where actually the best thing to do is just support Israel.
Jews,
like, all you have to do is say fucking no to Jews across the board on every single issue. Just try it once. Just fucking try it.
Jews murdered this white woman. Where is your outrage?
That's a white woman.
Where is your outrage for Jews ran this white woman over with a fucking bulldozer? Where is your outrage? Where is your outrage for this white woman being brutally and heartlessly murdered and then mocked for it?
And then
what do you do? You join in on the mockery because you're a dissident, because you're based, because you like butt sex, because you want to be on Chris Cantwell's kill list. Not kill list, but you want to be a notch on Chris Cantwell's bedpost.
Yeah.
And you're upset that I tell you no.
You want to be the receptive agent.
Oh God. You want to be the guy you fantasize about being the guy that convinces Chris.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. For your subscription today.
You know what? Maybe I actually am gay. I really like you. That's your fucking power fantasy for politics. I almost said it.
So,
I'm not going to say out loud that I'm going to be the guy that does it. I'm going to be the guy that gets him to finally admit it. I'm going to be the guy that brings him out of his shell and so he can be become who you are.
It's like, you know, he's like,
I'm gay. I'm gay.
Go away. We don't want your AIDS.
Oh, man.
Go away. We this don't want your Zionist talking mafia. Points.
Yeah, right? It is funny. Like, Zionism and homosexuality are like peas and carrots, man. Like, you know, those things go together. Like,
trannyism particularly. Every tranny is, strangely enough, pro-Zionist.
Dude, that's actually really true, because it's funny how the Queers for Palestine thing is like definitely like falling off the radar. But what's so funny about Queers for Palestine, I've always talked about this, is how mad it makes Republicans. Like, it makes them so angry.
Hey, those are our queers.
And remember, like, even that fucking guy, and here I'm going to do some more infighting here, right? That guy Hermes on Twitter. And these Australians are going to do this too.
I'm fighting with white nationalists.
Why is he fighting with Hermes? Hermes literally is, just so you understand, Hermes, his main sponsor is a Jewish internet sports gambling company. So this guy is getting paid by Jews, which is why all of his content went from being relatively based to being fucking Zionist shit, which is why he decides he's going to go and disrupt anti-fucking Zionist parades in England and try and make fun of the people, even though he was actually owned. He was actually owned by this woman who says she's like a lesbian, and she says like, yeah, nah. And he's just like, even if they want to kill all gay people, would you still support Gaza? And she's like, yeah, I would. And he's like, but what if it gets you killed? And she's like, well, then I guess that's how it is. And he had nothing. It was really funny, because this guy has nothing to say to that. First of all, it's a woman who says she's a lesbian. That's just fake. Like, there's no such thing. She's just a woman, a confused woman who's like got involved in some political thing. She's probably never done anything like that in her life, because they don't. It's not real. But secondly, this is funny a thing, because it's like, why are you mad at this? Like, they are literally, like, you gays are supposed to be on our side. Like, they see them, it's like they seem like traitors. Like, we're the ones that like gay. You are supporting something that's, how dare you? Like, it's very funny. I find the level of outrage over Queers for Palestine from Republicans to be quite funny. It's very, very hilarious. And it's like,
they don't like feeling, like, they don't like feeling morally inferior to a faggot, which is,
so here you have this Hermes guy. You have this Hermes guy going out and doing that. It's not just, no, it's not that. It's that they feel the faggots are like, they're traitors. They're like, you're supposed to be with us. Like, they desperately want the clout of these faggots being on their side. They feel like they've lost. They feel like, why faggots are supposed to be on our side. You're supposed to be conservative Zionists. What are you doing? How could you? And we're the ones. And from the perspective of like Republican, like, this is a Charlie Kirk position. Like, no joke. This is actually his position, which was that America, remember, boom, Botswana and homosexuality, right? Remember, he's like, no, and he was saying, like, nobody, liberals don't give credit to Donald Trump for literally spreading global homosexuality enough. Liberals don't give enough credit for, like, making Botswana get rid of their anti-gay laws. It's like, who fucking, imagine even giving a shit? But, so his point was literally, like, America, individual rights, individual freedom, freedom to be gay, etc. That's why he was constantly appearing with homosexuals like that faggot, what was his name, Rob, was, I forget the guy's name, Rob something or other, the gay guy that was there when Dave Riley says, how does anal sex help us with the culture war, which was legitimately funny.
Well, he was actually, he was actually looking for an answer so they could, like, how can we use this?
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was promoting,
gay sex. He's a Republican.
Dave Riley was not promoting gay sex. Come on, let's be clear about this.
No,
I get the jokes, but no, I don't think he's actually a Republican anymore.
Oh no.
All I know is every tweet I make, the guy's like right there clicking the like button.
Oh, is he?
So who knows?
Oh, I might be out of date. I don't follow him.
Yeah, he was never really. He was doing the E. Michael Jones stuff, and he had to keep apologizing because Jones was sounding like too much like Noel Ignatiev with like the deconstructing the white race stuff. But yeah, whatever. I'm not interested. That was legitimately a funny moment, but I can't remember the name of that faggot. Who funny enough, that fag,
it doesn't matter.
That black gay guy comes out a few days ago, and he's like, and he was basically schooling people, saying like, you guys are all wrong. Like, every gay black Republican commenter owes their career to Charlie Kirk. He like opened the doors for us. I'm like, listen to this man when he speaks. He's not lying. He's telling you the truth.
I'm here in the purity spire looking down on all the faggotry like, no.
No, I'm not going to make room for it. So, but the thing about Hermes is like the very fact that his sponsor is a Jewish sports gambling company. First of all, you're promoting gambling to people.
This is awful.
Okay. Already a problem. So Jewish, why are you telling your viewers? To go and do sports gambling, Jewish sports gambling on the internet, where they're going to lose money because the house always wins when you gamble. Like, when you go and do sports gambling, you're just eventually shoveling money into a Jew's face when you do that.
That's their favorite thing.
Yeah, I guess so, right? So yeah, fuck that guy.
So did you see what Marcel did?
No.
We were talking about Charlie Kirk, man, like...
No, I didn't see that.
Marcel had our friend on a space that... I can't imagine... Oh, yes. It did not get Alex, you heard it, right? You were listening to it. You
I heard
me
most of it, yes. Like, yes, yes.
Judicial, right. No, his sophisticator went and got dog-walked on his Charlie Kirk conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
He got blue-screened so many times where he just kind of sat there in total silence.
I wish I heard that. Because
it's just
I don't have, like, bad feelings to judicial notice of
him. Oh, I don't either. I hope that he learned from his conversation.
I just want to teach him to do better.
Change and do better, yeah. Because he's not a cuck on the Jew issue, and he's not a cuck on the fag issue. He hates Jews and fags, so he's good. He's solid on those issues.
Yeah.
It's just he has this idea. He likes conspiracy, weird conspiracy stuff too much.
What is it?
The heuristic, whatever model you have in your brain that finds that stuff convincing, you need to reevaluate it, right? Think about it and change, because it's not that stuff. A lot of that stuff ends up serving the ends that you wouldn't want to be serving.
How do I get this guy's?
I thought it was interesting to watch the conspiratard brain in action, because what they do is they pick out these things out of the air and be like, ah, this is suspicious. Oh, that's suspicious. Yeah, this thing over here looks so good.
It's not suspicious.
And they kind of make a gumbo of suspicion out of it. And then they just pour that into a bowl, which is the conspiracy theory itself.
And like, there's no, but what's funny
there's
is
no
the
connection. There's no connection between this specific thing you think is weird and the grander conspiracy that Israel did it.
Well, the attempt to construct a positive case out of that, then it's like there's no real actual anything to back up your case.
In the absence of evidence, we just look at facts on the ground and question them for no reason. So you're working backwards. Like I have this guy, like this silly YouTube channel that gets no views. His name
I love those kinds of YouTube.
His name is Aaron. I can't remember. The channel's called Toon Fart. He used to do funny like guitar stuff. But now he just like walks around and talks about stuff and he became more right. But I just saw yesterday, like this is where I have to give credit where it's due to these conspiracy people. It's like, look what he's got. Look what Toon Fart put in the title of his latest video. Oh, fuck. Come on. Let me have the thing. You see this? Charlie Kirk. Oh, did they do it? Like, I want him to know that, like,
you owe us money.
I want to tell him, like, no, I am one of your 24 subscribers, and I invented those. Toon Fart.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And he just thinks he does the standard bit. I like that he is, like, the idea that people want to blame Israel for stuff so people will stop liking them. Like, your heart's in the right place, but it's just not, that's not workable. But it's funny, I guess, but it's just to see him, like, oh, just like, Aaron, what else do you know? What else do you know, Toon Fart?
Well, it shows you that the Jew thing is gone very widespread. And so given that the Jew thing has gone widespread, and we are in a situation where being associated openly with Jews, like being an open Jew shill, is clout destroying. It's like credibility diminishing. Like even for Charlie Kirk, he had to do credibility enhancing Jew skepticism over the Epstein thing, right? That's what he was doing with Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson. And if the letter he supposedly wrote to Benjamin Netanyahu is accurate, is authentic, then absolutely he was never not on their side. He always was. And from all the evidence shows that he was always just on their side. And in fact, he was not killed by them because why would they kill one of their strongest soldiers? He just wasn't actually shifting opinion.
Send a message to Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly.
Why didn't they just kill Tucker Carlson then?
Right. Well, that's
why don't
the
you just
idea.
Kill Tucker Carlson? It's not like it would
the
be
best
tough.
The thing said to Tucker Carlson is our buddy explained is like, well, I'd better not talk about Jews. Otherwise, they might kill another leader of TPUSA.
But like Tucker Carlson continues to say the things he can say. If they want to kill Tucker, send like a fucking IDF commando to his property in Maine, have him like infiltrate and do it. Like, I'm not, I don't want you to do that. That would be a terrible murder. I would be definitely against that. But I'm saying like, if they could. The IDF, the Israel forces, have the ability to assassinate any individual person they want. They could assassinate me, you, any of us, Tucker, whatever. They could do that. They didn't kill Kirk. And if they didn't do it in this way either. And also, like, just an example of the sort of bowl of suspicion methodology that these people use. Like, I was watching, there's that woman she's kind of got, like, that crazy grin and the big neck tendons coming out when she's like she's usually good on the Jews in Palestine, but she's very conspiratorial. I forget her name. On Twitter, she follows me and I follow her, but I don't always pay attention. I saw yesterday she was tweeting about like suspicion because the live stream footage that TPUSA had of the event was like taken by law enforcement in the aftermath of the shooting.
Yeah,
what are you insinuating?
Let's hear it from Toon Fart.
The third option is that it didn't happen.
What?
That it was a staged event. I think it's important to consider all possibilities.
Oh my God.
And not blow off anything, because we really don't know. It reminds me of the JFK situation.
No, we do know. Come on, guys.
The JFK got smoked. You know, that was pretty graphic, right? We saw his head get rearranged on the Zapruder video, or film at that point. It was film. What? But you know the strange thing about Zapruder, I think Zapruder was Jewish.
Okay, so he does know. All right. No.
See the big boom. But it's like he's on the right track.
No. He's on the right track here. You're onto something.
And
far.
I have never seen him post anything like this. I've never heard him mention the Jews before.
Okay, so
this is what I'm talking about.
It's like
Charlie Kirk situation right now. They're saying a 30-06 was used, right?
Now this, it just goes into the retardation.
This guy definitely knows a lot about guns. I can tell from
he
looking
does,
at
but
him.
Like, but it's like here he betrays like he doesn't actually know anything about. Come on,
there's a deer stand.
Oh, he's the story.
Yeah, you're in the woods.
Well, he's buying he's buying this property. He's walking around. That's what's going on. So it's like he could constantly like jumps in with like, what's this?
If you pop someone in the neck with a 30-06. Assuming you're using standard ammunition.
Yeah, no, it's like if it happens to like rattle off his spine and doesn't exit, like that can happen, nigga. And he said if you're using standard ammunition, what if he wasn't? I've heard there's a lot of rumors about what kinds. Yeah. Someone said he was using training rounds. I don't fucking know.
That to me is ridiculous. But that's the mainstream, right? Just like they said.
So Lee what Harvey is that supposed to happen? They're mad about no exit.
He's gonna tell
right?
He's gonna tell you a little story. No, there's no exit one because there wasn't one.
All right, let's see it.
He said Lee Harvey Oswald used the Mannlichter rifle and
who?
Warren Commission who? Report.
Well, like he licked her.
Came out later.
He licked him.
Licked her in the first
and said, "Oh yeah, we interviewed a bunch of witnesses, and it was definitely Lee Harvey Oswald." Nothing to see here, folks. So, move along. Meanwhile,
okay, well, hold on.
Witnesses, people who were interviewed for the Warren Commission report.
Oh, then they all started to. Okay, hold on. Get back to Charlie Kirk too.
Well, one thing is, I'll say this.
Oops, that's weird. Huh? Okay, we got to make it over to this deer stand real quick. What are some other possibilities? It happened, but. It didn't happen from that angle with that tool.
See, here we go.
It came somewhere. A lot of people have talked about it coming somewhere from the right, coming in through the back, coming out the left.
Yeah.
Where's the other wound? But there's no other wound, so that didn't happen.
It's out of his neck, right? Some people have talked about the camera that was removed. And
see, this is what I'm
hiding. Yeah, here we go. Yeah,
someone who had their camera removed.
Candace Owens said she saw that video.
She's probably lying.
And
or she's not, and it just doesn't matter, right?
Well, Candace like, Owens,
yes,
is,
I heard that the police Candace were Owens asking for cell phones.
Candace Owens is trying to put she's trying to push what he's saying that she's trying to push the Israel did it angle, and she's just lying about this video. No one's ever seen. Oh, you've seen it, Candace, and it says things that you say that no one else that doesn't match up with anything else, and we have only your word to go on. You know,
and
yeah, I've been paying enough attention to it.
But he says something
the
here.
The guy who. Took the camera down, is afraid of, you know, his family's safety, doesn't want to release it.
Bullshit!
Candace is saying, you can release it. Yeah, these things need to be transparent anyway, but
why
she understands.
Why did she release it?
Why is anyone fearing for their lives that they have video evidence of Charlie Kirk and they took it down? No one's fearing for their lives for Charlie Kirk evidence.
There's another element of that, which is like, if you feel like you've got this and you put it out, like then you now have insurance against yourself actually getting killed because then what this is silly. This the people don't even get like the way they invent these things. It's also like, bro, just let's stop right at the fucking the way the bullet would have behaved, because frankly, bullet like that is actually not something that's so deterministic and predictable that you can always tell the way a certain round of ammunition will behave. You just don't know. It's there's lots of variables. What we do know is like, you can predict pretty well if you shoot somebody in the neck with a 30-06, whatever round you're going to use, their neck is probably going to fucking explode in a torrent of blood, which is exactly what happened.
So he moves on to this without any second thought that this is just retarded, doesn't mean anything. But are you ready? This is what takes the place of evidence in these people's minds. Play it.
There's a movie that came out starring Nicolas Cage. I find this very, very strange.
Why?
1998.
1998, a movie came out.
The movie was called Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes.
It was so strange.
It
was total trash. And no one watched it.
Plot line.
Hey guys.
Well, listen to what he says. This is like literally. This is a dot. This is a dot we're connecting right here.
And the plot line of that movie is that at a boxing match, defense secretary named Charles Kirkland. What?
In 1998, was Charlie Kirk even born? Charlie Kirk was 2 years old, I think.
Yeah.
And they knew that in 2025, he would be assassinated. So they named the character in this movie Charles Kirkland. Because they have to tell you.
Yeah, gets shot.
Tell you.
he gets assassinated.
Do you not see that the absolute coincidental nature of that?
You have no idea how
hard conspiracy theories lean on stuff like that. If something was
in
a movie script decades before a thing happened, that was the plan for it, and they finally did. Well, so when Charlie Kirk was 2 years old, the Jews knew when he was 2 years old that he would become like the foremost voice in youth conservative Zionist outreach, and that they would have to kill him for reasons.
And this is what,
and this is proof.
This is something I've talked about with conspiracy theories for a while. Conspiracy theorists, movies are one of the main things that they talk about because this is their level of like interaction. Like they don't really know. What's funny is they don't really know much about politics and history and like actual like figures in the government or international relations or like that kind of stuff. Like they do know an awful lot about movies, and the reason is because they are content consumers.
Oh. Yeah,
this is content consumption. This is not really something.
Yeah. It gets even worse.
He gets assassinated by a movie plot here. You know, the Palestinian who's mad at the U.S. giving weapons to Israel.
That means Charlie Kirk was assassinated by Israel.
That sounds based.
I mean, it's a good plot point, but it's like that. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with your case?
It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's unusual that such a plot would be in a Hollywood movie because almost always they eschew that issue completely. It's very rare.
And so this is what he does with it. It's funny. This is the last bit.
All right. Then we have all this stuff going on with Netanyahu, right?
Check this out.
Netanyahu repeatedly coming out on different media platforms saying, hey, Charlie was a great friend of Israel. We did not pop him.
Where is that music coming from?
Paraphrasing. How dare you? We would not. And then what was it? Was it the head of Mossad or someone else from Israel came out and said, we do not assassinate.
Well, that's obviously not true. They do assassinate people all the time. They just didn't assassinate Charlie Kirk.
Listen. People, we do not do that. Something like that. Okay. You people, you expect us to believe that, you bunch of goofballs?
Toonfart has named the goofball. That's my little...
I don't even dislike Toonfart.
No, he's great.
Like Toonfart. I kind of like Toonfart.
Just like a bunch of goofballs.
I also sort of...
Well, wait a minute. Where do you stand on the
goofball? You're enjoying what you're hearing. Please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. Therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Goofball.
I'm anti-goofball. Anti-goofball. Now, here's the thing. Again, as I've always said, I understand why there are those who say, just let the Charlie Kirk conspiracies happen, just let them go. It's like, because dude, like, it is this generalized like suspicion of it. Now, I don't think that our stance on this is exactly like pro-Israel, because we're just saying like Charlie Kirk was not, it's not like you just want to fit Charlie Kirk. You want to retrofit him in to a more acceptable stance than the one he had while he was alive, which was being a total 100% complete shill for Israel. And any criticisms he made of the Jewish community were only criticisms that they themselves were not loyal enough to Israel or were not positioned correctly to support those right-wing evangelical Christians and Republicans that were Israel's greatest servants. He was basically like, why is it that you seem to have machinations that go beyond? And it's like, well, the reason is, Charlie, because you're just a slave. You're just a servant. They don't need to explain their strategy to you. There are going to be Jews that are going to handle you, and there are going to be Jews that are handling the other side too. They're not going to be partisan. Like this is the bag of the Charlie Kirks. Why aren't Jews partisan like I am? It's like, well, Jews aren't partisan because they need to manage both butt cheeks, mm-hmm. both sides of the American ass, both cheeks of the American ass mm. have to be managed by the Jews.
Horse and buggy people.
They're managing the left cheek and the right cheek, and you're just on the right cheek. And you're like, why don't the Jews just dedicate themselves to the right cheek?
So this came up the left yesterday cheek is still- in the debate with Marcel, JFK. And of course, 9/11, which are two situations where you might you might be very well inclined to think that Israel had something to do with that, right?
Of course they did. There's evidence of that.
And there's motives and intent. And you can see that after 9/11 and after the JFK assassination, there were specific changes in U.S. policies.
Yes.
There were results. Something changed.
Right.
What happened after 9/11? So, we went to the Middle East and took out all of those countries, most of them anyway, on the PNAC roadmap.
So sit down, grab a cup of coffee. And
all right. That's good. You got to isolate that. That's solid.
That
also, I love
shirt.
It. I like nice
so
shirts.
So sit down, grab a cup of coffee, and let's talk about the insane story of Yamaha.
This guy has come up in my YouTube feed. I've seen it.
You never sat down and had a cup of coffee when he came on?
No, I saw that he had a Grateful Dead shirt on, and I was like, okay, so it's a Grateful Dead excerpt. That's fine. That's cool. I like the Grateful Dead.
No, he likes everything. He's just as likely to wear a Slayer shirt as a Grateful Dead shirt. He's a well-rounded
excerpt. He just generally likes music then. Good for him.
He's an audiophile.
Isn't that crazy that Yamaha also makes like sport bikes and stuff?
Yeah.
Yamaha makes all kinds of shit, dude.
All sorts of shit.
They make, like, keyboards and motorcycles. It's like, crazy. Yeah. Weird.
They started off, he built an organ, apparently. And that rickshaw, he carried it, like, 1,000 miles to show it to, I don't know, whatever. I already watched that video.
Anyway.
I already sat down and had a cup of coffee.
You already watched that video essay?
I already sat down.
That's not video essay.
Because
if the host shows their face, it's not a video essay anymore, right? Is that
I think so. Yeah, now you're just doing a video. Yeah. Now you're just doing a video.
And I don't like it when hosts don't. I want to see at least somewhat the face of the person talking to me. I don't like videos where the host is not showing their face. That to me, it's like, what are you doing? It feels AI to me. That makes, you know, it's like, this is not real. Like, I want to see that there's a real person talking to me.
Anyway,
a couple things on the JFK thing. One, Oswald came out when they arrested him and he said he was a patsy. He said that Tyler Robinson just fucking copped to it.
Right. Right.
Right. So right away, there's an issue with that. Right. And not only that, like, dude, who's the Jack Ruby here? Right. Remember, Jacob Rubenstein shot fucking Oswald. Jacob Rubenstein, member of a Jewish mafia smuggling airplane parts to Israel.
Mm hmm.
And yes, as you said, there's two particular, I want to go over this real quick. Two particular, because a lot of times people focus mainly on the nuclear thing. I think that that is a mistake. There's another issue that is very, very important with JFK, and that he was a supporter of the right of the Palestinian refugees to return to the borders within Israel. In fact, he had a specific plan, and this was in this 2013 Haaretz article, which I put in my article about Israel and the refugee problem, where I went over and I've talked about this a number of times on different shows. I've not really heard any other commentators on this issue talk about this. Even Ryan Dawson, I don't think, has picked up on this, which he really ought to, because he does the whole Israel behind JFK stuff. He leans heavily on Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, which is God good information, but is written like a schizophrenic wrote it, because the information is so jumbled and impossible. It's not organized well at all. I'm sorry. It's just true. It's just written like a schizo. Like, I've read it and I've tried to read it, and I'm like, dude, this is all over the place. So the thing is, this Haaretz article showed that JFK specifically had a plan where he was going to do a thing where they were going to interview the Palestinian refugees in the refugee camps in Gaza and Lebanon and Jordan and everywhere. And those that passed a security review, which the United States was going to help conduct, would be allowed to return to their former properties inside of Israel. And the fucking Jews went into a total panic over this plan. And it was JFK dispatched a Gentile policy advisor to the Middle East to check things out, to issue a report on what should be done. And this was his recommendation. And Golda Meir, who was the prime minister at the time, basically, they leaned on all the Jewish power they could to get JFK to squash this plan. That was 1961. And yet, so there's more than one Jewish issue here. And so additionally, like, any support of the United States of the right of the Palestinians, because there was an official policy of the United States, was that they supported the right of the refugees to return home. That was sort of like the policy stance of the State Department. Lyndon Johnson did away with it right away. And that actually, I would argue, is far more existentially threatening to the Jewish state than just the nuclear issue. Now, they did eventually get nukes. They did steal them from us. Yep. They did cause a Superfund cleanup site at NUMEC. Everybody look at NUMEC. This is all documented. This is known that the Jews actually did nuclear espionage on us and caused a big problem in order to get their nuclear materials.
Yeah.
We don't have to get too
deep in the weeds here. There were motives.
Yes.
There was intent.
Yes. Yes.
Presumably. And what we got results. We got Lyndon B. Johnson, and we got changes in policy. Afterwards, things changed. So you can
Johnson
see.
Johnson was a very pro-Jewish president.
Yeah.
Incredibly pro-Jewish.
Yeah. So if you look at that situation, like, huh, I wonder if Israel had something to do with that. You would be on pretty solid ground.
Yeah.
But you look at the Charlie Kirk thing, it's like, all right, well, what is the motive?
Yeah.
And what's the intent here?
The motive.
What did you get out of that?
The motive is for Conservative Inc. and its alt media subsidiary to outflank anti-Semitism within the right, within the young, and be able to bring them into
with Brylin Hollihan?
No, 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 no,
Brylin Hollihan.
Don't do that. Yeah. Brylin Hollihan is the Zionist part. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, you know, CIA agent Tucker Carlson. Like these are that flank. This is the basically trying to hold on to you before, so you don't become an actual dissident. You can come do anti-Semitism with retarded stuff as long as you stay Republican with Candace and with Tucker, right? Like you can stay along for the ride with us as Israel completes its genocide, and you can say that you were part of this cool movement to not like Israel so much, or at least maybe funnel it into like we just hate Bibi. So when Israel's done doing its war, what it perceives itself as won, you can be part of the right wing, the mainstream right wing that cheers for the ouster of Netanyahu and blaming it all on Netanyahu and his evil government, so that going forward the new greater Israel can skirt that blame and be the real victim of the genocide. I mean, that's what they're doing.
You know what annoys me about it is that
people
guys
can't see
like,
that. It annoys me that people can't see that. Sorry, go ahead.
What annoys me is guys like the Toon Fart, is the guy's name?
Yeah.
I like that guy. He seems like a good guy.
A genuine dude.
And he might not be just the most sophisticated with us, or maybe he's just getting introduced to it. He's new to it. And the fact that this immediately he's getting introduced to this garbage shit, rather than good quality content on the Jewish question and how it operates, which he should be hearing like better talking points, and he's being influenced by God. That's what I don't like. That's what's annoying to me.
He is eased into this. The last couple of years, he's eased into it through like retarded alt conservative stuff.
Yeah.
And libertarian stuff.
Because that's what's out there. That's like what's very prevalent. It's much easier to access that than to find
like
us,
That guy is like well versed in, well as you can be, in like Austrian econ and like hard money stuff. And he'll talk about fiat currency and shit.
You should listen to Marcel then.
You should get on with Marcel. Really learn a thing or two. But
we should 24 subs or something like that.
We didn't do ArmRank the other day, so you got to go to
ArmRank. Oh, right, we did.
ArmRank.co.uk for the Holocaust Encyclopedia. Hopefully, Toonfart will see this. He'll go to that website, and he'll use discount code TRS1 for a 15% discount off of the Holocaust Encyclopedia. And then I want to see some Toonfart videos about the Holocaust.
Yeah, he's like, so today, so 1 hour ago,
we're supposed to believe that somebody gassed you, goofballs. I'm sorry, what?
Come on, you goofballs! What you expect us to believe that
who gassed
they
the
got 2,000 people into a room?
Got 2,000 goofballs.
Nobody fought back.
You just had 2,000 goofballs goofing around in this little room, and then you gassed them.
Listen, no, he's implying that the people expecting you to believe this are goofballs. He's like. Yeah, listen, I'm not some kind of dumb goofball. You think that I'm going to believe that they could put
No, he specifically called the Jews. The Jews were the goofballs in his statement. Yeah. So that's his word for them. It's the goof Q.
You fucking goofballs. You can't fit 2,000 people in a room only four guys forcing 2,000 people in a room. You do that. How are you getting all the dead goofballs out of there? Are you gonna? You expect me to believe you can just make 2,000 goofballs, dead bodies disappear just like that? So right now they're promoting the hoax of the 20th century, the revised and updated expanded edition by Arthur Butts. Don't get excited, Cantwell fans. It's just his last name. Arthur Butts, who is the one of the first guys that wrote about this. So here are the hoax of the 20th century. It's a classic,
total classic.
It's been revised and updated because there was a few mistakes in the original one. Below that. Yesterday, debating the Holocaust, Thomas Dalton. Basically, this is a good intro material too.
Yeah, I've read from that before.
That's some good intro. Basic.
Oh God, a new look at both sides. Don't be a both sides guys, Dalton. You can't help the goofballs make their case. I'm just kidding. Of course you would. Dalton is very good. This book is great. I've read this.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This has a lot of like the it's front loaded with greatest hits stuff. If you do know, like I remember reading about census data and stuff about the Jews. It was really really quick. Like so they just make that up. Like the idea that there's 6 million Jews are not missing from any world census during the time, and they go on to for that to be possible, the birth rate that people would have to have, which is not. It was good shit.
So,
good
stuff. I'm not sure if we are promoting Armorite Holocaust Academy yet. Well, ask them about this. But yes, they do have a thing. They are going to be having a thing called Holocaust Academy where you can literally take online courses in this.
Yeah.
So watch for that. I don't know what the status of that is yet, but just definitely watch for it.
Now I want to say Goofball Academy, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
That's fun. TRS. We're
Goofball, Goofball Academy. We can learn all about goofballs. We tell you all you need to know about the goofball question. It's the Goofball Academy.
The goof panel here, but we're not really. The goof panel.
The goof troop.
The goof troop.
Well, they're the goofballs, though, not us.
I know, really. But it's just funny to just throw that in there. Goofballs.
We're using that from now on. That's part of the canon now. Just goofballs. Yeah.
Goofballs.
Thank you, Toonfar. The goofballs in the deer stand. There's a deer stand over here. It might be filled with goofballs.
No, he's just trying to check it out if he can use it or not. Because he's like, if that's good, then I get free deer stand. Cool.
Why not? Actually, in the video, he surmises that it might not be his deer stand. You think that might be across might the property be line. Might be the other. He's like, I hope they don't use me for target practice out here.
Well, I doubt that they would.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
I mean, why aren't you wearing bright orange?
It's like, why are you on my property? I'm now shooting at you. But it wasn't
yeah,
me. It
was yeah, yeah. Actually... I get that's how that works. You get to just shoot somebody that accidentally steps 1 foot on your property.
The 30
right?
out six, then I'm going to dispute where the bullet came from and what was used. Yeah. And how
hey, look, I can't be dead. There's no exit wound.
We have to entertain all options here that it didn't actually happen, Toonfart. You didn't get shot. You're alive. Anyway, let's go have some lunch. We're supposed to have a Merchant Minute today, but I haven't seen one yet in my inbox. So I don't know. We'll give it a little time. Maybe we'll have one. We'll be back. Don't go nowhere.
You are listening to the Daily Sew-Up.